how neat when you open your bulletin that's on your desk, and there's a little pink note in there, but you need your glasses to read it. It says, Aubrey, keep on keeping on. You'll be in my thoughts on the Camino. See you, Debbie. Isn't that cool when your office administrator leaves you a little note like that when she's going to go away for nearly a month? Deborah's going to walk 260 kilometers on the Camino. God bless the poor woman. Holy moly. We will miss her, but thank you, Grace. And I was looking at the slides again this morning. They were so cool. Thank you for doing that. I love the welcome one. Welcome to Central, a place where you can be welcome. And I really like that. Thank you, Grace, for doing that. This is a neat place. I love you. Sometimes you give me grief, but that's okay. I'm good at giving grief back too. But I do love you with the love of the Lord. And it is so neat to be part of this church. Been here for a long, long time. My goodness. But those other guys, they beat me way. You know, I've said this before. What are we, 142, 143 years, this church, been here in this place? Seven pastors in 143 years. That's something else, isn't it? Makes you think. They stayed. Wonder why. Was it the money?
Yeah, right.
No, I think it's the grace and the love of the people. No, I don't think so. I actually know so. Father, starting a new series today, and such a joy to do that as we walk through your word. And we're just going to break it open little by little and allow you to speak into our lives as we taste and we allow this to become part of our lives. My prayer this morning is that we will all hear loud and clear the invitation that will come from your word to allow you to work in our lives, but not just work, to allow you to become everything in our lives. So thank you. Thank you for what you are going to do. We're excited, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ted, you can put on that little background slide if you have it. We're starting a new series today, asking the question, how do you spell it? And I stole that from Pooh and Piglet. When Piglet says, how do you spell love? And then Pooh says, you don't spell it. You feel it. So we're going to start this little series. Today is the introduction, and the next 5 weeks after this, we are going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll do verses 4 to 7, and we will really break them apart and eat them and become part of our own lives as we speak on love. But today, I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 47. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Now, those of you who make notes, like Alexander, will know that I preached on this exact passage on June 27, 2021, on the theme of forgiveness. So you will forgive me for preaching on the same passage, not the same sermon. So read with me Luke 7, 36. We're just going to read up to verse 39 first, and then we'll go to 40. I'm going to talk a little bit before I go to number 40. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Just before I finish. So the reason why she could do this, remember, they don't sit and eat. They recline. They lie on their side, usually on the left elbow, lying feet this way. So that's why she could go behind him and wash his feet, be there. So just get that picture in your mind, not sitting at a table with their knives and their forks, okay? So she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. And then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Let's just stop there for a second. So Jesus is invited to this dinner at this Pharisee's house. Those who know the law, those who know the word, those who study the word. We'll learn in a second his name is Simon. And then just as they kind of lie down to eat, this uninvited guest comes and sits behind Jesus. We don't know her name. All we know is that she and Simon could not be more different. He's looked up to, she's looked down upon. He's a teacher of scripture, church leader. She, we're not too sure what she was, calls her immoral. Whatever that might mean, Simon calls her a sinner. If they were to choose and put up hands who they would think is more pious or more devoted or more devout, she would not even get a vote except for Jesus. And Jesus is going to tell Simon all about that. Problem with Simon is, he did not invite Jesus because he cares about Jesus, because he loves Jesus. He invited Jesus because he was playing a game. And in his mind right now, even when Jesus is talking to him, he has a heart that is not teachable. And all Simon is thinking, who am I going to yell at for allowing that woman to come into this place, number one. Number two, they call him a prophet? If he was a prophet, he would have known exactly what kind of woman it was, and he wouldn't allow her to touch him. But here's the thing that Simon is going to learn, and maybe we can learn that too. Don't think thoughts that you don't want Jesus to hear. Can I say that again? Don't think thoughts that you don't want Jesus to hear, because here's the thing, he hears them. And when he hears them, he's going to respond to them. And when he responds, he does it out loud and he says it, because that's exactly what he's going to do with Simon. Now we can go to verse 40. Simon says, "This man was a prophet. He would know who this woman was. She's a sinner." And then verse 40 says, "Then Jesus answered his" what? Thoughts. Don't think thoughts that you don't want Jesus to hear. "Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "Oh, go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to the one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither, and there's your biblical but, right? But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that?" I want to say, Simon, without thinking, answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet." Now listen to the "but she's." But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. "You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she, from the time I first came in, has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love." And now look at the "but." "But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." Don't miss the irony in this story. Simon, the righteous teacher of scripture And the law, who knows everything, about God and about God's grace and how you should treat others, doesn't care about Jesus. Doesn't serve him, doesn't give, has no love. Because he has something else in his mind, and we'll preach about that some other day. This woman who breaks the law and who is a sinner, Jesus says, who has many sins, she does everything that Simon didn't do and gave much love. He knew it all, no love. She broke it all and gave love. See, he might have had more training than her, more education than her, more money than her, more status than her. But there was one thing in which this woman had a master's degree, working on her PhD, where he hadn't even started junior kindergarten. And that was in knowing about God's love. But not just knowing about God's love, accepting God's love. Allowing God's love to come into her life, but a little more than that, allowing God's love to change her life. We don't know when this happened, but what I read when I read this, I just know that when God gave her this glass filled with God's forgiveness and God's grace and God's love, this woman took that cup and she emptied that cup of grace and love and forgiveness to the last little drop, and she was filled and overflowed with God's love. Simon, on the other hand, didn't think that he needed God's grace or God's forgiveness. He was a Pharisee, I mean. But Simon also didn't know how much he needed God's love. And she who had nothing gave much love. And he who had it all gave little love. And so Jesus just points out this contradiction so beautifully. Look at, I call it the Boeing verse, 747. Right? He says, her sins were many, and they've been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. So here's what I think. A person who is struggling to love other people is someone, this is just me thinking, is someone who has never allowed God's love to come into their own life and overwhelm them. They don't understand that. A person who has trouble loving others has not allowed God's love to come into their life. Here's our problem. I think we get the steps wrong with this love thing. We'll start at maybe step 2 or 3 or 4, I don't know. For us, it's number 1, but it's not. Where we think, I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to try really hard to love others. I'm going to try really hard to love more. You can't. It should start here. Here's step number 1. Lord, please help me to accept your love for me in my life. Allow me to allow you to love me. Please, Lord, allow me to accept your forgiveness in my life. Here's what I think. I think learning to love does not start in giving. Learning to love starts in receiving. First, receive his love. Let it come. Let it just overflow your life. And then it can change. Then it can change my life, because I don't think that we have this distillery that we can turn on and off in our life and it gives more love and then it doesn't give. It's not us. It's that moment of saying, we sang it, Lord, I need you. Every moment I need you, just come in and just overflow me and fill me with your love. Because if I don't have that love, I can't give it. It's as easy as that. Because how are we made? What happened to us after old Adam and Eve messed it up in the garden for us? We just went downhill from there. Paul writes it in Romans 8. Look at me. I try and do the good things, but I can't. The more I try this stuff, the more I fail. The only way I can do this is when I stand under the grace and the love of God and say, God, just shower that stuff on me. And allow him to do that. Let him love you. He wants to. Let it just flow right through. Have you done that? Have you allowed him to do that? Let's take a moment. Close your eyes. Father, this is the difficult thing for us. We live in a world where you kind of have to do it yourself. And there's self-help books for all of the stuff. And sometimes we think there's a 10-step that we can do to love like you love. Unconditionally, additionally, compassionately. And then we fail and fail and fail. In this moment, we want to open our lives to you. And we want to say, Lord, I can't do this. But Lord, I can give you my life and just open it up and allow your love to just start flowing and flowing in. In this moment, we're going to be quiet. And take a moment, friends, just to speak to God about this. Open it up. Accept his love because he gave his love there on that tree on Calvary. Allow him to speak in a quiet moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for lives that are touched. Amen. See, here's the thing. It's not that Simon couldn't receive this love. It's that Simon chose not to receive this love. And the consequence was a hard heart. This woman opened her life and chose to receive what she could not do herself. And the consequence was an amazing heart that was filled with love. Let me illustrate this. Let me illustrate this for you. Show and tell. Got this sponge little crusty hard. So if this table, we took this off and it was all messy and sticky and I was taking this old sponge, it wouldn't really work. What do I need to do for the sponge to work? Need some water, okay. There we go. It's going to work, right? Is it going to work? Not? Oh, okay, a little more, okay. Ah, perfect. Going to work. Not going to work. What do I need to do? I need to baptize this baby. I really need to baptize, but it's this full immersion. That's what we got to do. We got to baptize this baby and put him in there. And now look at the sponge. It's filled. If I squeeze it, it even runs out. And if I take this sponge and I take it to this dirty table, what's going to happen? It's going to be clean. How does your heart look like? Crusty, old, dry sponge? Or one that is saturated with the love of God. If this water was God's love, can I ask you a question? How wet are you? The difficult part is this. We start with the, I know God can love Peter. And I know God can love Scott and he can love Bradley. But I'm not so sure if God can love me. Don't start the question there. That water, it just want to go right over you and fill you. Because God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows all of those warts and all of those old things that you don't like, that he doesn't like. But when that woman came and it says she's immoral and she's sinful, Jesus didn't say, get ye behind me, Satan. He loved her, warts and all. And that love changed her life forever. Her sins, and they were many, are forgiven. Didn't say, for this moment I let her do this. They're gone. When he washes you, you're clean and you're loved, because this is how God's love sounds like. And this is what we're going to be doing for the next 5 weeks. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. I'm reading from the New Living. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. A teacher at a conference that I was at once said to us that we should take 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7. And then he said, so every time the word love is there, you replace the word love with your own name and see how far you get. So I went. Aubrey is patient and kind. Aubrey is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. And I thought to myself, you've only started the first verse and you're in trouble already. Is it just me? Then he said, and there's a slide for this, Ted, replace the word love with the word Jesus. And then it sounds like this. Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Jesus does not demand his own way. Jesus is not irritable, and Jesus keeps no record of being wronged. Jesus does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Jesus never gives up, never loses faith. Jesus is always hopeful, and Jesus endures through every circumstance. This one works, doesn't it? See, here's the thing. This is what happens when you say yes to the Jesus that we just read there. That Jesus comes into your heart and he changes your life forever, because he is love. He doesn't think about love. He doesn't just talk about love. He is that love. And all he wants me to do, you to do, is to come stand under the shower of his love and allow that to flow into my life. Because the Boeing says, for whom many sins were forgiven, will have much love. The one who thinks that they don't need much, they'll have little love. We're going to talk about having much love for the next 5 weeks. Amen. Bow your heads in prayer with me. Thank you for your word, Lord. Oh, I love your word so much. It's so amazing because when you, Lord Jesus, tell the stories, we can just sit and smile because you know us so well. And that's so amazing. You know us so well. And because of that, you give your grace. And you give your forgiveness. And you fill us with your love. Thank you, Lord. We accept that. In Jesus' name we do. Amen.